Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Continue, Lord, to hold us up, Father God, And we binding up anything and everything that's not like you right now in the name of Jesus, whether it's sickness, whether it's troubles going on in our lives, whatever it may be, we binding that up right now in the name of Jesus, because the song says you're bigger than that. So we can cast all our cares on you, for you care for us, Father God. And Lord, we just love you, Father God, and we thank you for the word at noon. We're thanking you for your word is teaching us about faith, and that we ought to just, you know, continue to put our trust in you, continue to have the faith, that God kind of faith, for us to live by and to set the standard for all other believers to know that God is real. His word is faithful and true. Lord, we love you and thank you for your word tells us by your stripes we are healed. We're thanking you that no matter what we're going through, Father God, you will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, Father God, and we'll continue to trust in you. Now, Lord, open up our hearts and our minds to this word. Holy Spirit, you are welcome to come in and stir up the gifts that's inside of us, Father God, and open up our hearts and our ears to hear this word. And we ask it all that you continue to bless our pastor and continue to lead and guide and direct him. We ask that you continue to touch Evangelist Renee and Evangelist Sharon, that they may continue to be healed. We're praying, Father God, for all those that stand in need of a healing. Praying for Sister Chi that things are working out for her as well, Father God. Lord, we just give you praise today, and we just want to say thank you, Lord, and have your way in our lives. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that heartfelt prayer. And hallelujah. I just thank God for you. Sound like you've been on fire this morning already, Pastor.
Praise God. Mm-hmm.
This week, brothers and sisters, we talked about the God kind of faith. And before we really get started, let me say this. The God kind of faith, you can't see it. It's not predicated on what you can feel or touch.
All right.
And I have two ways of proving this. Because we think that as long as we can see a thing, it's God. And that's not true. That's just a lie the enemy has told us over these years. But the first scripture, which is our foundational scripture, we're going to go ahead on and deal with that a little bit. But I like to start and go backwards from where we were Friday. And I'll have a reason for doing that, and I'll show you that in a moment. But we're going to read out two foundational scriptures, which happens to be Hebrews 12 and Matthew 8. So, let's go to Hebrews 12 first. I can find it. And Pastor read it out of the King James. I'd like for her to read it out of the Messenger Bible, if you'd be so kind, Pastor.
Amen. Praise God. All right. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 from the Message Bible. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sin. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. Amen.
Amen. So we pointed out a few things this week. First of all, you got to look unto Jesus, who is the author. He knows about faith. He created faith. He originated faith. Everything about faith, you have no reason to look any farther than Jesus.
All right.
Because
Amen.
He is the author. That's why you want to look to him. Because if anybody knows, he knows. Knows how from A to Z what's going on with faith. So the writer said that we are to look at Jesus because not only is he the author, but he is the finisher.
Ooh, hallelujah.
And that's important because there's two kinds of faith, brothers and sisters. It's the kind that is supported by what you can see, what you can feel, what you can touch. That's what we're talking about, Thomas. Remember Friday, we were talking about the lower kind of faith. Thomas said, unless I can see with my eyes, touch with my hands, unless I can feel this thing, I ain't believing jack. That's
what he
said. We got a lot of people who only God they can believe in is one they can go and see and touch and feel. If they didn't have a building, they wouldn't have a God. Preacher.
Have mercy.
It's bad that your faith is predicated on what you can actually put your hands on and handle. So Jesus says, okay, Thomas, it's a blessing now for those that have not seen but yet believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but somebody out there, you hadn't seen it, but you believe it.
All right.
Hadn't seen the doctor report, but it doesn't matter because you believe in what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what the nurses have been able to show you. It doesn't matter what the doctors have diagnosed. It doesn't matter. They're talking about there's a job that you can't get. God is bigger than that. See,
yes,
the only kind of faith we want, well, I think I can get this because I know Joe Willie or I know Mary, and they're going to vouch for me. But sister, let me tell you what. That's not the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is you got to start speaking that into existence. And it's not predicated on only what you can see and what you can feel. See, that's that. That's the kind of faith that Moses them operated in. That's the kind of faith that God had. And we'll go there because when we get into Matthew 8, we'll share a little bit with you as well. Because the only way they could prove anything, they had to touch it and feel it and so forth and so on. But over in, Matthew 8, and I think it was 8, we did 5 through 13. So we'll read that. It says that when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lie at home sick of the palsy, grievous torment. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. That movement, it took me, I didn't see that before, but I saw it today, and I'm going to tell y'all something the Lord showed me. He said, I'll come and heal them. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm a man worthy that thou shouldest come unto my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, and having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and to he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he do it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed him, verily, truly. I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. Not in Israel. And I will say unto you that many shall come from the east, from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I won't go too far. I said 13. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour.
Hallelujah. Amen. From the Message Bible. As Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a Roman captain came up in a panic and said, Master, my servant is sick. He can't walk. He's in terrible pain. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Oh, no, said the captain. I don't want to put you to all that trouble. Just give the order, and my servant will be fine. I'm a man who takes orders and gives orders. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my slave, do this, and he does it. Taken aback, Jesus said, I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel, the very people who are supposed to know all about God and how he works. This man is a vanguard of many outsiders who will soon be coming from all directions, streaming in from the east, pouring in from the west, sitting down at God's kingdom banquet alongside Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then those who grew up in the faith that had no faith will find themselves out in the cold, outsiders to grace and wondering what happened. Then Jesus turned to the captain and said, go. What you believe could happen has happened. At that moment, his servant became well. Amen.
There's a whole lot going on here. This man had to gain his faith from somewhere. I was wondering how he got that faith, where it came from. And the Lord told me to go back and do a little research. And when Jesus had healed this other man with the palsy and the leprosy, what happened was, he ended up telling this man that he had healed to go and do what Moses required. And what Moses required was, you go and show yourself to the priest. So the priest then could go out and tell everybody in the camp and make it known that he's to be restored. So here this centurion, he heard about this because they heard about Jesus in town healing and doing all these. Now guess how faith comes? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Word of God.
So he heard it. He heard it, man. I know somebody out there right now, you done heard some things of the word of God, right out the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
They heard how Jesus had prayed and how people had came and began to call unto him as master, and Jesus began to touch people, and they began to be clean, and women, and just different kind of people was experiencing the power of God. But so Jesus could keep everything in order, he said, now y'all go you know, and do it immediately. Go and tell the priest what happened and how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, isn't it awesome how God don't do anything undercover, huh? He don't mind telling the truth.
Yeah.
He stands up. And this centurion heard that man, and so he began to go. The Bible says when Jesus entered into Capernaum, that came unto him this centurion who happened to be a soldier. Matter of fact, that was his career, and he was an officer who controlled over 100 men. And,
all right.
Matter of fact, the people hated them because of his office. They hated his position, and because they oppressed the people. They were very controlling. And anybody been in the military or you've been around military people, they can't help it, y'all. They be trained that way. They be taught that way. You do certain things. You know, you may have to fold your clothes a certain way and your wash.
Yeah.
And they think sometimes it's repetitious how they do things. But that's a good thing now. That's a good thing.
Uh-huh.
Because Jesus recognized, this man realized that that was a different kind of faith, because he just heard how Jesus had healed them with the leprosy. And and they had went and heard that they were to go back and show themselves to the priest. They had heard all this stuff. So this man said, wait a minute, Jesus, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy now that you even come into my house. But because I'm a soldier and I'm a man of authority and I understand words, all you got to do is just speak the word. Woo.
Yeah.
He said,
that's what he said.
My servant will be healed. Brother, sister, let me tell you what. Jesus said, you know what? I haven't found this kind of faith in all of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
All God wants us to do, brother and sister, is to speak that word. Begin to speak the word, and you'll see and walk in that thing. See, faith is something you have to act on. And this man knew that Jesus was like the commanding officer. He was the man that was in charge, and all he had to do was just speak the word, and it was going to happen.
Hallelujah.
He just took his own experience. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you got a situation going on in your life. You got to just start speaking that word over it. Close your eyes. Start looking at it from the natural. That's why I played that song. God's bigger than that. He's bigger than diabetes.
Yes, he is.
He's bigger than heart failure.
Yes, he is.
He's bigger than AIDS. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is.
He's bigger than unemployment.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm.
He's bigger than your worrying. You don't have to worry.
Yeah.
You can trust in God with all your heart. He's bigger than that. But you got to start speaking it. And you got to understand how important it is to speak the word. And this man, he began to share with Jesus. And it's kind of ironic. Jesus marveled because he was like, okay, I'm the teacher. You trying to teach me because I'm the author and I'm the finisher of faith. And you trying to teach me. So Jesus kind of, you know, chuckled a little bit. I mean, when you think about it, there's some humor there.
Mm-hmm.
He knew who Jesus was. But the people didn't recognize the power, so Jesus had to explain it to them, what was going on. And he hadn't found anything like that in all of Israel. And this another thing this man did, it wasn't about him. It was about his servant, somebody else.
Yeah.
It wasn't about him. And I said one day, I forgot, we got to understand, brothers and sisters, that's what Jesus did. It was all about somebody else. He was healing people that needed. He wasn't not for himself, but for their sake.
Yeah.
This man wanted healing for his servant. Mm-hmm. And that's the life we got to start living. When you see people being tormented, this servant of his was being grievously tormented, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
That's like night and day going through it. There's somebody right now that God should start praying for them. They're going through it night and day. You may not know it. You may not be there. You may not see it. Matter of fact, they won't even tell you. But God said, I'm going to drop it in your spirit. And when he drop it in your spirit and he show you these people, just start praying for them.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
And it may be your own self. You may have to tell God to allow the healing to take place in you. A lot of times, we can't do things because we're still sick. We still are injured. We still going through it. You got to declare healing on your own life first.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Then you're able to declare healing for someone else because it's all about believing. See, this officer, he was a believer. He acted on whatever the command was. If he said, if the commanding officer to take 50 troops and go to the north, he gathered up 450 and go. He didn't sit there in awe and debate. He said, yes, sir. I'm on my way, sir. We got 50 men going that way.
Because
he understood that. That's what I'm saying, but that's how the God kind of faith operates. You speak it, then you act on it. So when Jesus told the man, he says, okay, since I see you got all this faith and everything, in other words, don't worry, go on to the house. And before the man could get back to the house, his servant was healed.
Was healed. Hallelujah.
Yes. Listen, brother and sister, the moment you act on your faith, the moment you act on it, that's why hopefully next week God's going to share with us how important it is to get it in your heart, get it out of your head, and get it into your heart. Because, see, this stuff ain't going to work if you learn to get it in your heart. But between your head and your heart, the enemy get in between that, see?
All right, now.
And
say
he's
that.
Got this thing in the heart. And God wants people who will operate from their heart in faith. That's what God's looking for.
Amen.
He's just not looking for people who got faith in the head. You got a lot of people who got head knowledge. That's all they got. But it's not in their heart.
All right.
They don't
all
believe in their heart. And that's what the problem is. But this man believed in the heart. How I know that? Because he acted on it. He began to act on it. And you can make any excuse you want to. But Jesus has given us everything we need now. I remember Tuesday when Evangelist Renee prayed. I think that might have been Wednesday when she put together that big hoagie sandwich, but with the mayonnaise and mustard. I think it was Tuesday she prayed. It was something how she prayed for others.
Yeah.
That really got my attention. And brothers and sisters, you got to know, it ain't about you. Even if you have to pray for yourself so you can start praying for somebody else, you got to know it's not about you. Somebody else needs it more than you need it.
You just
got to open your eyes to see. You got to be able to look around and observe. And then when you see it, act on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to challenge somebody right now. You got some enemies that you need to be praying for.
Yeah.
You got some friends you need to be praying for.
Amen.
See, it's easy to pray for your grandchildren. How about mine?
Amen.
I haven't told you what's going on with my child. How about praying for mine now? It's easy to pray for yours.
Yeah,
you got peace in your home. How about I got trouble in my home? Pray for my home. Sometimes all we're about looking at somebody else. Use your faith for someone else. That's how when Evangelist Renee prayed Tuesday, I was just really moved. because she was willing to use her faith for somebody else's job. She was willing to use her faith and somebody else be healed.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So, Luke, I'm going to tell you something, too. And we learned that this week, too, over there in Luke 10 and 42. We'll go there. But in Luke 10 and 42, well, I didn't really get a chance to finish telling you about over there in Leviticus 14, where you were supposed to go and show yourself. Those were people who could only touch and feel. That's the way they lived. They lived in the natural. So Jesus knew what the law was, and he knew that they were supposed to go and show themselves to the priest. And once they showed themselves to the priest, then the priest would go outside the camp and examine and say, okay, you know what? That person is healed. They had to actually touch it. But with the centurion, he didn't have to do that. Just speak the word, Lord. I know if you're speaking, it'll happen.
That's what he said.
So the priest would then order. See, then the priests were ordered that they get like two living birds. And they had to be the clean kind of birds. Somebody said it was pigeons, white pigeons. I don't know. But anyway, they was required to get that. It was required to get some wood and some yarning and hyssop. Hyssop would make you white as snow. And they were required to get this stuff. Then the priest would order someone to kill one of those birds. And then when they did, they would take it and take some fresh water. This is what the priest would do. And take the living bird and the seed of the wood and all that stuff. They would take all that and the living bird into that blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And they would sprinkle that blood seven times, the Bible said. And one would be clean and declare forgiveness. Well, why am I telling you all that? See, they had to have something they could see, something they could touch, something they could feel, something they could hear. So Jesus knew that because that's what they was operating in. That's the kind of faith they was operating. So Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest and do what Moses required, see? And that's what he required them to go and do that. Then they could declare that they was clean. So they even went forth, putting them on a robe and said, okay, you're clean of that leper. They put oil on them and all that good stuff. But anyway, the point is, they could present themselves to the Lord. Now, this centurion, who didn't even practice the things that Israel did, he knew that he could just, that all the Lord had to do was just speak the word. It wasn't even about if I had to go and examine. He just speak the word. So when we go to Luke, when we go to Luke 10, 42, Jesus is telling Martha and Mary, well, we'll go there and read that. But I wanted to kind of finish that up a little bit, Buster, because a lot of times we get over, run over a lot of things we don't have a chance to do during the week. But I wanted you all to know how important that was when Jesus said, now you go and show yourself to Moses, to the priest, just like Moses had told you. Now guess who Moses was? Moses was the giver of the law. So it was a law, it was mandatory that it be done like this. But this centurion, he ain't care nothing about no law.
Say that. Say that.
Yeah, all he wanted Jesus to do is speak the word. See, if you really could get into that and grasp what's going on here, you would go, I mean, it's a mind-blowing stuff in here. Well, Jesus, why wouldn't you let the man do according to the law? He didn't live by no law. He wasn't live by no law. He was a man unworthy. But he knew Jesus had the power. What am I saying? Somebody right now, you might be thinking less of yourself. Because you don't go to church, or you don't do this, or you're not on the usher, you're not singing. You may think real low of yourself. I want you to know right now, be like the centurion. It didn't matter. He knew who had the power. and he went to the source of the power.
Yes, he did.
You want to read Luke 10:42-45? You can read them in both translation if you want to.
All right, Pastor. From the King James, 10:42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. And from the Message Bible, the Master said, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her. Amen.
So get some knowledge from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gain some knowledge from this. This is why people are destroyed. Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Get some knowledge from this.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Where's your mindset? What are you concerned about? What is your priorities here? If the Lord talking to you, you need to stop and listen. Pay attention.
Yeah.
You need to get into the Word of God, because God is pulling you, calling for you to do that.
Yes,
and let us not be like Martha. Martha was complaining because she saw her sister wasn't doing what she was doing. And she all she wanted to do was listen to the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, I got folks mad at me right now because well, you spending all this time in the Word. Well, bless God, hallelujah. Get with the program. You can't get with this Word. Because, see, that's the only thing. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm finna speak directly to your spirit man. And if you feel some type of way, then you need to put that to God. The only thing won't be taken from you is the Word of God, brothers and sisters. That's the only thing you can take from here to there with you. So as you stand before God, you'll be able to say, Lord, here's the word that I've spoken.
Hallelujah.
Here's the word I've stood on.
Mm-hmm.
Your word, Lord. See,
Hallelujah.
You promised this word would not return unto him void, but would accomplish what he sent it out to do. Let me tell you, Papa, her mind was somewhere everywhere about cleaning the house, doing this, doing that. She had already saw the power of God. Instead of her sitting there listening to the Word of God, and Mary was so happy.
Yeah,
she was just Martha troubled about so many things. You can tell when somebody troubled, boy. They into this, into that. She was troubled about so many things. But the thing that Mary had chosen was the good part. And I'm so glad God, Jesus broke that down, because you got all these crazy folks out here talking about how Mary was flirting with Jesus, da-da-da-da-da. So Jesus made it real clear. What Mary want from me is the word. And that's the thing that's not going to be taken away from her. Aren't you glad they pointed that out? Get that little nugget right there. So when people be talking about Jesus, you can not only defend your Lord, not that he need it, but some of these crazies that don't understand this. But that's what faith is, brothers and sisters. Faith is standing on that word, believing in that word, acting on that word. And Jesus said, this will never be taken away from her. Brothers and sisters, don't you want to have something? And I don't care what happens, tornadoes, earthquakes, All this stuff. You know how it just take away your earthly good. People done lost family members. People done lost vehicles and money and you name it. Been taken away from them.
Amen.
And folks to die. The only guarantee we have is the word of God.
Amen. Ooh,
now, I know that. The Bible says heaven and earth are passed away before one jot tills of my word. So don't worry about it. You get the word of God, hell can freeze over.
That's
you
right.
Got it.
Amen.
And nobody can take it away. No circumstances can take it away.
Amen. Praise God, praise God.
You want to make that decision that this is the way it's going to be, and this is the way it ain't going to be no other way. That you're going to keep the word of God.
Amen.
You're going to be faithful. You're going to remain faithful.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
When it comes to you and the word of God, when it comes to you and your house, we're going to serve God. I don't care what other folks join. It doesn't matter to me. You got to keep that word. Brother. And you got to believe it when you don't see it.
Amen.
We did a little bit of Romans 4:16-22. Pastor, you had something you wanted to say?
The word is just good, Pastor. And like you say, we got to stand on it. Amen. Got to believe it for what it is. Amen.
Well, Abraham, over in Romans 4:16, since Abraham is the father of the faithful, and he's called the father of faith, which is why Sarah had to be the mother of faith. In spite of what anybody have taught you, Sarah was an awesome woman. She just believed God. She believed in her husband. Nobody could tell her anything about her husband, and Joe couldn't tell her nothing about God. Because she learned to believe in God. I shared this with somebody. But we're going to read the scripture first. You want to read Romans 4:16-22. I'll read it out of King James. You can read out the Message Bible. The 16th verse says, therefore, it is of faith. Y'all underline that. It is of faith. Underline that, because people talk about the grace of God, but they don't know it's by faith, and it is of faith that it might be by grace. See, grace comes after faith gets there. You don't put grace before faith. I might be preaching to myself right now, because a lot of people depending on grace. But sister, that's not the way it works. Faith comes before grace.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, well, I ain't got faith, but I'm depending on the grace of God. You're lying to yourself. That's like trying to put the cot before the horse. It don't work. Right. I know they go together, but you don't put the cot before the horse. You put the horse, then you put the cot. That's the way that works, see?
Let me
read this. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise may be sure to all the seed, not to the only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him of whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and call those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so thy seed shall be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he had promised to, he was also able also to perform. I'm going to read that again. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for this sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Well, I might have gone too far because I said I was going to go to the 22. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's the 22nd verse. Okay.
Hallelujah. Amen. From the Message Bible. This is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God and his way, and then simply embracing him and what he does. God's promise arrives as pure gift. That's the only way everyone can be sure to get in on it. Those who keep the religious traditions and those who have never heard of them. For Abraham is father of us all. He is not our rational father that's reading the story backwards. He's our faith father. We call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as a father of many people. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Raise the dead to life with a word. Made something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decay of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously, skeptically questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said. That's why it is said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.
See, based on the fact that the law was given, but it wasn't given to Abraham. See, the law was given to Moses.
That's right.
Think about that. So all Abraham had was God's word. And so that's what we got to live today. It has to be predicated on the word of God. I'm going to point out some things, and I'm just not going to rush through. I know this is part of the review, and I may just pick it up tomorrow, just however the spirit leads. But let me share this with you, brothers. Please, be wise. Be wise with this. So, Abraham didn't have no laws and rules and regulations. And if he did, it wouldn't have made no difference. Because he was living by the word of God. God told him. So what Abraham challenges were was bigger than that. He's dealing with a 99-year-old woman.
Yeah. That's right.
And then
Amen.
He himself, he come to realize, you know what? Ain't nothing going on here in the physical realm. He said, man, I'm dead.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I want to tell y'all kids to stop up their ears. I mean, wasn't nothing happening. It was two bodies. That was old, 99 years old, wrinkled, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
There were no erections here. You got to have some erections or something. But, I mean, her womb was dead. She, I mean, I know this is probably a little X-rated, but it's the truth. The Bible says he considered his body to be dead. Consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. It was like, man, ain't nothing happening here. You ain't got to read this stuff, man.
That's
and,
it.
And don't let Satan blind you. You wanna see what this looked like. This looked like a woman who at one time had been awesome. But Abraham didn't see that strutting peacock. That ain't what he saw. He ain't saw that Coca-Cola-shaped body. That ain't what he saw. And I'm sure Sarah didn't see that physique that Abraham once had. Now, how I know this stuff is because Sarah was a beautiful woman. She was so beautiful, they were going to kill Abraham for her. Abraham had to tell Sarah, you know, they're killing these beautiful women's husbands, and they don't kill me because they want you. That's how beautiful she was.
That's what it said. Amen.
And so, so Sarah said, well, what you want me to do, honey? So Abraham said, yeah, tell them I'm your sister. I'm your brother. You know, you my sister. So just tell them that. That'd be cool. That'd be cool. If you just tell them that, hey, you know, you my sister, so they don't kill me. See, Sarah was a beautiful woman.
Yes,
she was.
Bible,
yes,
it
is. And now at 99, she done lost some of all of that glory and glamour. You don't believe it. I don't know how old you are, but you're not what you were when you were 16. Just look at some old pictures.
Amen.
Now, I don't know why you would think it would have been any different for them as it is for you. You're not that gorgeous knockout thing you were at 16. And I don't care if you're 35, you still ain't what you were at 16. And if you're 40, you sure enough ain't what you were when you were 20. And if you're 50, you know you're not what you were when you were 19 years old. And if you're 60, you ought to sure enough get a mirror and look back at your 60-year-old body. Don't look nothing.
Go ahead. Say that, Pastor. Say that. Just a
truth in the house. But Abraham said, God, who can quicken the dead, and call those things to be not as though they were. The Bible said he was working against hope. There was no hope for him. No hope against hope. Do you know what it means to work against hope? Nothing. Ain't nothing working.
All right.
You
all
hope
right.
something works, but you know hope ain't even happening. Anyway, let me leave you right there, brothers and sisters. If the Lord says pick it up, but I want you to know, it takes faith to cause this stuff to happen, brothers and sisters, because it wasn't happening in the natural.
Yeah. Amen.
Anyway, we're going to pick it up there tomorrow, part of our review, so...